B-Pod Studios.
I hung out with about 4,000 of my friends.
Oh, really?
Yesterday 4, afternoon.
4,000 of your friends.
I like to think that people of Southwest Florida are my friends. Went and saw the wrestling.
Did you see anybody we know at wrestling?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
When you go, you get to go sit in the crowd and you say a lot of people come up to you and talk to you.
All the time.
And say how much they hate the, I mean, like the show.
Right. Hello, K-Rock, you're on the air.
Hey, Stan?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Rob. I'm yesterday at the wrestling.
Yeah, Rob, how are you? I saw you were sitting down about two rows in front of me over to the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Just, how are you?
Just wanted to call and thank you for the autograph and stuff like that.
Hey, really no problem. You had your kid there, and I guess you put the kid up to asking for the autograph.
Yeah. Well, we had a great time, and you were a great guy. A lot of times people take shots at you, and they need to know you that you're a good guy. And
thanks.
I really appreciate it, and just wanted to say just thanks for being you and doing the job you do.
We all had a good time there watching the wrestling.
Listen, are you feeling better?
Feeling better from what?
Well, I noticed the whole time during wrestling you were just picking at your ass and digging.
What are you talking about?
I thought maybe it was you had some kind of hemorrhoid or something.
Picking at my ass? I was picking at my ass. I was sitting in a chair at the arena. I don't think I was picking at my ass.
What were you doing? I mean, were you sitting on your hand?
I wasn't sitting up. What are you talking about, picking at my ass?
You were picking at your ass.
I was not.
Look, I was there. I saw you. I'm not faulting you or anything. If you got a problem, I mean, I was concerned.
I don't have a problem. My ass is fine.
Was
there's no hemorrhoids, no piles, no boils.
You just forget to wipe?
I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? I thought this
ass.
Was going to be a pleasant call, you know, having a good time at the wrestling event. I remember you. And did I shake your hand?
No, I didn't want to shake your hand, but you gave us the autograph. But
yeah.
But, you know, I just want to make sure you're okay. I'm not saying anything about it one way or the other. If you want to dig at your ass, that's your business.
What the hell's that all about? No, I wasn't picking at my ass.
Well, why would somebody say that?
I don't know.
What would possess
somebody get a cheap laugh out of that?
Call up and say that.
What am I going to go to the arena and in front of 3,200 people start picking my ass? I don't think
so. You looked a little. I don't know what you'd say. A little squirmy today on that bar stool.
Oh, come on!
But I don't see you picking your ass now. But you look like you're just a little uncomfortable.
K-Rock, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Stan. How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Doing good, man. I saw that when Y2J came out on the crutches and all that.
Yeah, that kind of was sad because I was, you know, he was big name and was looking forward to seeing him wrestle. Apparently, he really got hurt at the wrestling.
I mean, that's what I heard about it. And I just think after watching all that, you know.
Yeah.
I think he probably worked harder than some of the people that did wrestle. I think he was really, you know, trying to put forth an effort.
Yeah, he put forth a little bit of a show, went and grabbed the microphone, got people riled up a little bit, insulted the town and insulted everybody in the crowd.
So he was working hard. You was working hard too, digging at your ass.
Why are you saying I was digging at my ass? What is this, some kind of conspiracy?
Digging at it? What? I don't know.
Well, I wasn't digging at my ass.
Why were you picking your ass in public, man? You're in the public eye.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was I picking from the outside, or did I have my hand jammed down there?
All I know is it looked like you had your hand, it looked like it was down the back of your pants, and you're just scratching and fidgeting around.
What, like I had some kind of rash or something?
I don't know what it was, man, but why were you picking at your ass?
I wasn't picking at my ass!
If you had a problem, you should have just gone to the damn bathroom.
Tell your buddy that just called a little while ago. The fun and games are over with. No one's picking at their ass.
Why were you picking at your ass?
I wasn't picking. Okay. Yeah. Hi, K-Rock, you're on the air. No, I wasn't picking my ass. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, is this K-Rock?
Yeah. And I wasn't picking my ass, okay?
Can I make a request?
Huh?
Can I make a request, please?
Yeah.
Is that the request line?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Can I hear, why were you picking your ass?
Yeah! Funny. Funny.
It is funny.
That's what they
but
say.
But what was going on?
I was sitting there.
Did you have a problem yesterday?
No, I did not.
You didn't have, like, a particularly rough movement or something? Let me ask you this. Did you have to use the facilities there?
I used the facilities once there. Yes, I did.
Sit down?
No, it wasn't sit down.
Why would people say that if it wasn't?
I don't know. I think everybody's getting a good kick out of this. Crying out loud, I was not picking at my ass. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, may I speak to the disc jockey, please?
You're speaking to the disc jockey.
Yes. I am a single mother.
Yes.
And I have young children. And I took them to the wrestling show. And I was very disturbed.
You were disturbed?
Very disturbed at the level of violence being portrayed.
Well, that's often been the case with wrestling events. There's a high level of animated fake violence, but nobody really gets hurt.
No, I'm not talking about all that, sir.
I'm talking about
how violently you was kicking at your ass.
I didn't see you at no wrestling event.
Is it a pile? Is it a boil? Is it an ass pimple?
Ass pimple.
What had you in so much consternation?
How do I have to get it through? How come so many people had their eyes on me instead of the wrestling matches, and all of you people have said I've been picking at my ass?
I don't know how much it would cost, sir, but I know in Europe they have a thing called a bidet. And it'll squirt water up there and keep it clean.
I don't know
so
what
you don't
you're
have to be digging it yourself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Good God.
Nobody was picking at any ass. And that's the point. There's a wrestling match going on. Why are you looking at me?
Were you doing anything at all that could be construed in any way that you were picking your ass?
I did have a wedgie. But... Well, it didn't mean I was picking at my ass. I was adjusting my underwear a little bit.
Okay, so you were adjusting your underwear.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't picking at my ass. It was nothing where my hand was jammed down there.
I can see where people would say you were picking
where you get a little wedgie there, and it, you know, starts riding up on you.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
I know you're still fond of those granny panties.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, can I speak to Stan, please?
Speaking.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I am doing well. I think it's a great thing that we're getting these events in there now.
I think it is, too. I think it's a great thing that we're getting the wrestling and concerts and, of course, the hockey and basketball and football and everything. I think it's just fantastic. Yeah. We finally got a place around here where we can see Top Flight Entertainment.
Yeah, I thought the wrestling was real well done, too.
Uh-huh.
And I think probably my favorite part of it...
Yeah, what was that?
...was when Big Show looked over at you and said, "Hey, Stan, your ass must be hungry because it's eating your shorts."
You getting cheap amusement out of this?
A little bit.
Because I was not picking my ass.
They make creams and pads.
Everybody's having a good joke at my expense. That's fine. I had a little wedgie.
Wedgie.
That's about it.
Sounds like you were picking your ass.
Oh, I wasn't. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
You know, I saw you a couple of months ago
picking
your ass at the bowl in L.A.
I wasn't picking my ass. I wasn't picking my ass at the bowl in L.A.
Were you picking your ass at the bowl in L.A. too?
No, I wasn't.
I thought it was just like his shorts riding up his
ass.
That
must have been what it is. But it had nothing to do with that.
So you've been picking your ass in public for a
while. No, I haven't. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Stan, I just wanted to know how long it took 20 minutes to get a wedgie out.
It didn't. It kept coming back.
We've taken like 10 to 15 phone calls. Everybody says you were picking your ass.
I was not. I will repeat this. And I think I reached down there one time to get it out of there. That was the only time. I had no idea.
What were you doing? Were you picking or digging? Because you've been accused of both.
I didn't pick or dig. You know how when before you go sit down in a chair, you hitch up your pants a little bit and then you sit down? That's all I was. I was hitching. I was adjusting. That's all. I was just adjusting.
Adjusting.
Yes.
Not digging or picking.
No.
Then why aren't these people using words like adjusting?
Why would I go into public, whether it's a bowling alley or a wrestling match, to go and pick my ass? K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Stan, did you see when Steven Richards fell up off the top rope? That was pretty funny.
I saw that, yeah.
That was pretty cool. That was almost as funny as you picking your ass.
Okay. Funny. Last call.
Why are all these people saying this?
I don't know why.
I haven't heard one person that says, no, I was there, I saw you, you weren't picking your ass. The way you're demonstrating it looks like you're what you're showing me right now, you look like you're picking your ass.
You know how Arnold Palmer likes to hitch the pants before he goes and swings a club?
No, what you just showed me looked like a man picking his ass.
Oh, it did not. It did.
All right, say digging then.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I need to talk to Stan.
Speaking.
Yeah, Stan, this is Fred down there at the Tico Arena.
Yeah?
I need a billing address, pal.
Why is that?
You owe us for a seat cushion, son.
Okay.
All right, I can understand you don't want to talk about it. Evidently, there's a good reason you're picking and digging at your ass.
It's no reason. No.
Why won't you take a phone call?
No, because they're all going to say I was picking at my ass.
You don't know that. Try one more.
All right, one more. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
I think it's more of a tug.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. The Stan and Haney broadcast for a Thursday. Just think about it. Your Thursday is just about done. You just got to get Friday out of the way. And
well, you got to get Thursday out of the way,
well, they're
too.
Almost done. We're,
but it's not out of the way yet.
No,
you shouldn't bring it up.
But I'm telling you, you're on your home stretch right now. What is that? Oh, I like that. I lost an hour of my life last night that I can't get back. I turned to the ABC television network to watch the live All in the Family / Jeffersons live studio audience, Norman
now,
Lear, and I've
got to tell
you,
before you say anything, I just happened to see a link to the review, and I'm like, damn it, I missed it. I wanted to see that.
All right. You're not, well, how can I say this? A couple of things.
Because it's a 96-year-old Norman Lear,
yes,
sitting in Archie's chair.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you. I'm going to try not to. Because it's not necessarily the story of what was on camera last night. Because they used, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, because it shocked the audience using 70s language.
They used the exact same script from season 4 of All in the Family, and they used the exact script from, I think, the first or second Jeffersons, word for word.
Yeah, and I guess one that really got them was when Gloria is talking to Archie about, doing something with the Jeffersons, and Archie says, I don't wanna. And Gloria says, how can you say that, Daddy? The Jeffersons are our closest friends.
Oh, the Africa line? The
and Archie
heads?
Says, yeah, and Archie says, no, little girl. Their closest friends are still shrinking heads in Africa.
Yep. And then Meathead goes by, and oh, is that what happened to your head? Let me, a couple of observations I have to make, because.
But I guess they did bleep out the N-word itself.
Yes. And I was explaining this to my girlfriend last night, too. And have we come really so far that.
We did until Hillary Clinton.
That stuff that aired in the 70s on prime time has to be bleeped out. We're adults. It has to be bleeped out.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed the opposite racial slur, honky, to be aired. But when they used the N-word, they took it out. Multiple times. It was used a couple of times during the Jeffersons episode, too. And I also pointed out, I think when the Family Channel was still around, they would repeat the original All in the Family, and they would edit for today's audience. Because the slang term for gay, the F word for gay, yeah, they took it out. I couldn't believe it that we've stepped backwards. Same thing last night. I watched the old Johnny Carson stuff that they show on 10 o'clock on the My Network. You can get it on cable. You can get it on your antenna. Carson sitting there with Richard Pryor, who was spectacular. The guy was a great,
brilliant genius.
Brilliant.
And they got into a thing. I guess he was in the Neil Simon production Plaza Suite with Bill Cosby. As he points out, we were the only two black guys in the movie. This is 1979. And I'm watching Carson and Pryor go at it. He said, and Richard Pryor said, I'm rather upset because a lot of people started saying that there was a lot of racial problems in that disrespect. And Carson said, yeah, I read about that in the reviews. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, Bill Cosby and I in the movie do slapstick comedy. And he said, I had such a great time doing that with Bill Cosby. And they said people like Neil Simon and all that were getting criticized because they were degrading to black people for doing a segment in slapstick comedy. And Richard Pryor said, I don't know where this stuff is coming from. He said, I had the best time. He said, I would work with Neil Simon again. And he said, that comedy that we did was old school comedy, and I loved doing it, and I was proud to do it. And I said, here's where times have changed. Johnny Carson said, yeah. And he says, that's okay. He said, I bet you if two white guys went and did that same slapstick comedy, nobody would say anything. And I'm like, ah, that's where you're wrong. Because if that happened today with two white guys doing it, they'd say it was racial discrimination and looking down upon African-Americans. I can't believe how things have changed, not always for the better, where you have to, on scripts, delete dialogue that aired on network television.
It's going to be unrecognizable. Think about your own experience. You've experienced higher education. And what was that? Late 70s?
80s, mid-80s, early mid-80s.
Oh, that's right, because I think about your radio anniversary, but you were doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
But you could tell the shift to the left.
Sure.
In university. Now they're starting it in preschool. The brainwashing starts in preschool now. And I'm a little bit younger than you, but I saw the beginning of it. Because, and this happened in every grade and in different schools. The teachers would start a school year and come to the front of the class and go, look, here's a stack of brand new textbooks. If you'll notice, I've opened one box. The rest are still sealed. I opened one box and read the textbook. This isn't for you.
Yeah, because they changed the text. They are altering history.
I'm sealing it back up. You may have to share with your neighbor, but we're going to be using the textbooks that I've been using since the 1950s.
Yeah.
And so I just dodged that bullet.
Yeah, you were just ahead of it. Now, getting back to the program, that was one thing that was blatantly obvious because they were going by the old script.
Well,
I wanted to see...
My point in relating to yours is that they're teaching people to be victims.
Yeah. Now, I also wanted to see, because I knew it wouldn't work, how the actors would portray the characters, because we grew up with Carol O'Connor playing Archie
Bunker. Oh, the character is established.
Gene Stapleton, mm-hmm. Sherman Hemsley. I wanted to see how they portrayed them. The worst?
Were they doing the character, or were they doing an imitation of the actor?
I took it at face value because they all threw on the New York accents.
I heard Woody couldn't quite handle it.
Thank you. Marissa Tomei as Edith was phenomenal.
She was
great.
How was the girl that played Gloria?
Insignificant.
She's pleasant.
Meathead,
though.
And like pretty much in All in the Family, Meathead and Gloria.
Who played Meathead?
Mike Stivic played Meathead. Rob Reiner.
No, and then in the one
from last
night.
I don't know. I don't know. Didn't recognize.
They do okay.
It was
insignificant.
Insignificant. You were watching. George Jefferson, Henry Jefferson, even Lionel was a little insignificant. Louise Jefferson. Edith, Archie, they all were acceptable. Even what's his name?
Woody?
Will Ferrell, who played...
The neighbor?
The neighbor. Or, no, the...
The guy that likes to have George Jefferson walking his back?
No, that was the guy from...
Insignificant?
Groundhog Day. Remember him? Phil, the insurance salesman guy.
Okay.
That was him.
So what did Farrell play?
He played the Willises, the upstairs neighbors. Tom and Helen Willis.
Where they were a mixed couple.
Right. And that's what he played. The worst out of them all was Woody Harrelson. So miscast and played Archie. Say what you want about the character of Archie and the way Carol O'Connor played him.
Carol O'Connor played them
brilliantly.
Perfectly.
He didn't play him as a dummy. He played him naive, set in his ways from a different generation. Woody Harrelson played the Archie Bunker character as a dumbbell. Just plain stupid. And he was reading the original script. And what got me, and I even said this to my girlfriend, this was the era of Nixon. And Carol O'Connor used to get a laugh with this because they would always refer to Richard Nixon as Richard M. Nixon. Archie would always refer to him as Richard E. Nixon. And he'd go, let me tell you something about Richard E. Nixon. And they would get the laugh because he was naive and didn't know. Well, Woody Harrelson has to read the same line. Makes no emphasis on the E, makes no emphasis that it's supposed to be a joke, just rolls right by it. The audience doesn't know what he's saying.
And, well, they don't know any different either.
And he's got the hand gestures going. He's got an unlit, oversized cigar in his mouth, and it just looked stupid. And he was played the fool. All the rest were good. All the rest were good. There's Helen Willis. They just showed the whole cast up there. Watch it. But the biggest disappointment was Woody Harrelson. And I enjoyed the Jeffersons episode much better than the All in the Family one.
There she is.
Yeah,
I know.
Like
that
girl. She was all right.
Well, I'll tell you right now. It can't happen because of the PC nonsense, but you know who could have done a perfect Archie Bunker?
Who's that?
Louis C.K.
Yep. But can't happen. Can't happen. What Jamie Foxx, though, played a great George Jefferson, overplayed it, and I'll have a clip. He forgot his lines in the live broadcast. I think on purpose. We'll be back.
Is that why they don't do things live generally?
Correct. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon, Thursday edition. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to welcome back an old friend of ours. About 10 years ago, this gentleman used to be a regular on our show. I mean, we would spend a lot of quality time with him.
Well, it's probably easy to do.
Yeah, probably even farther back than that. For a few years, he was on with us all the time. And he has a new book, and he's going to be in the Deadwood movie. And his book is perfect.
How old is he now?
75. Yes, I'm That Guy is the name of the book, because he's a character actor and you know him,
mm-hmm.
but you can't place him. Talking about our buddy William Sanderson, who played Larry on the Newhart show with his brothers, Daryl, and his other brother, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Runner. He was, of course, in True Blood, where he played Sheriff Bud Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
And
who was one of my favorite characters, because I don't know if it was the first or second season, but he's the sheriff and all this vampire stuff is going on.
Yeah.
And he took his badge off and just said, F this, and left town.
He is going to be in the Deadwood movie on HBO, reprising his role of E.B. Farnham, the hotel manager in Deadwood. And he is going to be joining us. He is a fascinating guy.
And he's had a fascinating life.
Yeah.
His early years.
He went to school with Elvis. And Elvis and him, I'm going to have him talk about it. If I get the story correct, they knew each other, but they weren't friends. They knew they went to school together.
Like you and Hobomb.
Yeah. And if Elvis was having a big private movie showing or wanted a store open for so that he could shop after hours so the crowds wouldn't bother him, William Sanderson knew where and when it was happening, would go into the movie theater, sneak in, and Elvis would go and look behind him and see.
It's Sanderson.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Let him be. Let him be. Yeah. So he'll be joining us in just a few minutes. Let's do the grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. It'd be good to talk to him again. It's been a long time. Memorial Day. Maybe some of you think it's the beginning of summer. It also means something else.
MIA. POW. KIA. If you don't know what the letters stand for, you need to look them up.
Yeah.
Celebrating your Memorial Day weekend with respect.
Unlike actor John Cusack.
Yeah, did you see that? Hat on, sitting on his ass. Down in Michigan, okay. We're talking about a fella here. He got mugged last week. Mugger wanted his $1,700 Louis Vuitton bag. He would not give it up. No way. I worked too hard for this style. I worked too hard to show this bag off, and you're not getting it.
No, I said, you're not getting my bag. And then he fired a second shot. He goes, Demand, give me your bag. And I said, you're not getting my Louis Vuitton. I worked very hard for this. And this bag I've had forever. And I paid $1,700 for it or thereabouts. I love Louis Vuitton. And I saw this bag long before I could buy it. And I saved up my money to buy it. It means a lot to me. And it represents me. And it was just like, I wasn't about ready to relinquish my personal property. You could pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, okay, you saw something that you wanted and you did what was necessary to acquire it honorably. On the other hand, you believe that a bag with someone else's initials is worth you sacrificing a portion of your life.
What'd the monkey's song say? A status symbol in status symbol land. Follow me on this one.
But I'm the king of the swingers ball, okay?
A woman who died in Virginia stipulated in her will that her dog had to be laid to rest next to her.
Aww.
The dog was perfectly healthy. So the executor of her estate had the dog euthanized and cremated. Perfectly healthy dog.
As per her wishes.
Despite breaking a bunch of laws, here's an employee at the shelter who tried to stop it, and a funeral director who says He would have never accommodated something like that.
We did suggest to them that they could sign the dog over on numerous occasions, you know, because it's a dog that we could easily find a home for. But ultimately, they came back in on March 22nd and redeemed the dog back.
It's not legal to put a dog, cremated remains, or an animal in a casket and bury them.
Well,
am licensed by the state of Virginia, so I have a license on the line with the Health Professions Board. So I cannot do it.
Whenever we're faced with euthanasia, it's a very emotional situation. And beyond everything that we talk about that we need to do ethically and that we've taken an oath to do, it's something we take home, too. You know, it weighs on us as professionals.
Here's another one. An engineer at a TV station in San Francisco volunteered to help a university repair a vintage synthesizer last year. This goes back, you know, to the 60s. While he was cleaning it, he came into contact with some old LSD dust.
What? A crust or crystalline residue on it. A strange tingling sensation. It felt like I was tripping on LSD.
It's super wild. This whole situation is just a next chapter of the history in the counterculture.
And this will open your mind. Sometimes I guess the acid will open your mind too.
It's a little bit like time travel. If you could go back, that would be the way to get there.
Okay.
Chris Long, recently retired from the NFL, following in the footsteps of his daddy.
But
he, now that he's retired...
He was okay.
Yeah, now that he's retired out of the NFL, yes, I smoked pot regularly. And the drug testing in the NFL, you knew when it was coming. They only did it once a year.
Yeah, you got to be dumb to get caught.
I smoked pot.
I certainly enjoyed my fair share on a regular basis through my career. So, and I was never afraid to say that. But I'm able to say it more explicitly now. I mean, listen, if not for that, I'm not as capable of coping with the stressors of day-to-day NFL life. A lot of guys get a lot of pain management out of it. I think the testing is arbitrary. Testing players once a year for street drugs, which is a terrible classification for, you know, marijuana, is kind of silly because players know when the test is. We can stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my understanding is...
You got to be really...
And I think that's may even be the intention with the NFL of, look, we're telling you when the test is.
Yeah. Don't F up.
If you can't get yourself cleaned up knowing a year in advance when it's going to be, then maybe you should be suspended.
Tom,
maybe you do have a problem if you know we're testing you and you do it anyway.
Tom Hanks was at the Stagecoach Country Music Festival. Always had a good time there until he wanted to go up and have a cold beer at the Stagecoach County Music Festival, and they wouldn't serve him because he had no ID.
I wanted to have a beer, and there were four ladies who were serving up, and I stood up and I said, pull me a draw. And they said, we can't because your ID has not been verified. I said, I'm 62 years old, yeah, and you know my name, so yeah, I think I should be able to get a beer. They said, no, you have to go somewhere over there is a stand where you give them your ID and you verify that you're old enough to have a beer.
That's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, yeah, but I must give credit to these ladies. They did not cave.
No.
I was offering them tickets to stuff. You will come to the Toy Story premiere with me. Just go like that with a red Solo cup underneath and let me walk away with a beer. And yep, they would not allow it. And eventually a guy came over about a half hour later and he had a roll of red tape. He gave me a bracelet and then guess what I did? I chugged me a brewski.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for
you. A couple of clips from All in the Family, the Jeffersons. Here's Jamie Foxx when he forgot his lines on live television.
Ever since I was a little boy,
I would always beg my mother for a little brother. But you know, we were broke. So all could we afford, all could we, all is live. Everyone sitting at home just think their TV just messed up. All we could afford was you.
And then
that wasn't very good.
Nope. And in the Jeffersons, the one wow moment was when Wheezy's looking for a maid, and they're getting ready to interview, and she opens up the door for the maid, and who is it? Marla Gibbs, the original maid from the Jeffersons.
Oh, Florence.
Yep.
Miss Jefferson. I'm Florence Johnson. The agency sent me.
Oh, yes. Okay, come in. This is my husband.
How do you do?
It's 10 o'clock on the dot.
Oh, I believe in being prompt, Mr. Jefferson. I always say I ain't got no right to waste time when other folks is paying for it.
Mm. See that? She's high.
She's 87 and did her little cameo on the show. It was
how did
cool.
she look?
Oh, but you knew it was her. You knew it was her. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. William Sanderson, E.B., E.B. Farnham from Deadwood. The movie is the 31st. His book is out today.
Yeah, Deadwood, True Blood.
Yep, New Heart, Blade Runner.
You've seen him.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll know
him. And you'll recognize the voice. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Ron.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton. Stan and Haney? Oh, you gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this shit. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. About 30 minutes away, we'll give you a chance to win something. Our question of the week later on. So happy to have William Sanderson back on with us. You go back about 10 or 12 years, William was on with us quite a bit.
Yeah, it's been too long.
And it has been too long. In our office, even to this day, there is an autographed picture of William Sanderson that he sent us. He helped us with numerous charity events by donating items in the past. You will remember him. Well, his new book says, Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. You know who he is. He's from New Heart. He's Larry and his two brothers.
Yeah. What was his brother's name?
Daryl.
What about the other brother?
Daryl. You also know him from True Blood, Blade Runner.
He was one of my favorite characters.
And he's going to be reprising his role of E.B. Farnham in the Deadwood movie coming on HBO on the 31st. I'm so glad he's back with us. It's our buddy, William Sanderson. William, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. And you actually put a photo of me up there.
You sent us a photo back in the day, because back in the early 2000s, you were kind enough to come on our show. We were in the morning then, and we said, "Will you come back?" And you came back. You must have been on with us 10 times in the early 2000s.
Well, that's a big compliment, because sometimes I don't get invited back.
First of all, congratulations on the book. It's out today. Yes. That's got to make you feel good.
Well, yeah, it does, but it's a little scary, too. Might be the stupidest thing I've ever done.
I tell on
myself, and so we'll see, but thank you very much for letting me mention that. And
oh, absolutely. And there's questions about that book I want to get to in a little bit. But I do have to ask you, with Deadwood and doing the movie on HBO, that was in the planning works for so long.
Oh, when I saw that promo, I couldn't believe it. It was like, thank God.
It's been off the air after three seasons for 12 years. What was it like, William, to get the gang back together again and do this movie, which the fans wanted?
Well, it was great fun to see them, and you know, back when we did it, there's tension, and some days go more fun than others, but this time they act like you were at some family reunion where you actually liked everybody. and the great creator of the show, David Milch, is still able to give us some talks, and people teared up, man. You know, it's...
Boy, and his...
It was a lot of fun.
And for Mr. Milch... he's downright heroic getting this done, given what he's dealing with.
Yes, I'm very sorry that he's having problems, but we're about the same age, so I can relate. But he was great to be there, and he even sent us a little book talking about our characters after we filmed, and I treasure it. I mean, he writes like a Cowboy Shakespeare or something.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And how about going back to the... And help me, because I don't fully understand it, because having seen the series so long ago, and then I'm having to revisit it again because I have it all on DVD, and I'm like, I got to catch up and get back on track with Deadwood. Going 12 years later, what about the set... setup. Did they have it all true to the way it was 12 years ago?
Well, a lot of it was the same, but they had to, I find this out later, they had to rebuild some things, and where other people had come in. And the great production designer, Maria Queso, is responsible, and she wins awards every time. But my stuff was pretty much the same. So I didn't feel so out of place.
Still had the same wardrobe sitting there waiting for you?
Oh, the wardrobe, man. We have a great costume designer named Janie Bryant, another award-winning. I could talk about that after the show. I never get enough. I love my clothes, but I want more. After 12 years, you know.
Yeah. We're with William Sanderson. I got to ask you also... being a fan of Deadwood, and we were so sad after three seasons it goes away, with all of the other, we just had a recent HBO series finale that a lot of people have been upset about. Are fans of Deadwood going to be happy when this movie ends, that it kind of puts a bow on it and we don't sit in front of our TVs like Game of Thrones?
Well, the reviews have said that's the case, but I guess, speaking for myself, some people are never going to be happy.
Right.
It's gotten good reviews, and the ones that are out, Variety and Hollywood Reporter specifically, but that's the hardest thing, because they have their favorite characters, and now it's 2 hours instead of a 50-minute show. But it was a great script. I'm kind of glad I didn't see it. They invited me, of course, and my wife to the premiere, but uh-huh. Now I can talk about it. And, you know, having not seen it. But Ian McShane told me it was better than he expected. And
that's saying
Tim,
something.
Tim the Oliphant said in to the press it was they did a great job with the story.
Now, speaking of him, Timothy Oliphant, it seems like where you'd mentioned earlier, where it was like a big happy reunion, it seems like he's had time to realize just how great his role was and how great that show was.
Oh, yeah. He's always been able to take himself lightly. That makes it easy on all of us. But sure, he's like the character he plays. I think he has three children in real life. And, you know, I'm the old fart. But he is mature and has done very well. And at the end, he came up to my dressing room, shook my hand, and said, Good job. Something I'll see you, as they say in Hollywood, I'll see you at the premiere.
Yeah.
But I knew I wasn't going to fly from Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah,
that's a sweet thing, you know.
Now, will you be watching? Now, you're not going to go to the premiere. At your home, are you going to be watching it on the 31st?
Oh, unless somebody shows it sooner. Sure. I want to see what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I won't watch it with a group. I learned, look at them first. Let's see it first. And then, you know, a lot of people ask me that. I'd rather see it and then maybe watch it with
well,
a group.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do. That's what smart people do. They never ask a question unless they already know what the answer is.
Yeah. I got to ask you, because it's out today, by the way, kids, William Sanderson's book, and it is the perfect title, Yes, I Am That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. And I know I first discovered you, obviously, with Blade Runner, but, of course, Newhart, and fell in love with you right off the bat. And then, of course, Deadwood and True Blood.
Oh, yeah. You're my favorite character on True Blood. You're the only one with any sense.
Oh, that's very kind. But, you know, you spoke of Newhart. We were all glad to just have a regular job.
Yeah.
But I've been very lucky to survive. I've talked to a casting director. He unfortunately passed away, but he said to me, Ridley Scott, who directed
it. Oh, yeah.
He said, Ridley pays me to find actors who haven't been on a series. So I feel lucky to have gotten to do quite a bit since that series. And the series, anyway, generated commercials, voiceovers, cartoons, and a lot of nice things.
The thing and tell me this very quickly, because then I want to get into other stories of your life. But I always read this story. Bob Newhart, when he went to do Newhart, he had decade earlier, had done the Bob Newhart show, and it was filmed. And the first season of Newhart, CBS said, well, we're going to do it on videotape. And Bob Newhart did not like the look of shooting that show on videotape. And he said, season two, we're shooting on film. Is that true?
Oh, yes, it is. And he did made a lot of changes. His manager was the head of the MTM, so they had this incredible power. And but I can hear him right now. Well, that's fine. Who are you going to get to play Dick Loud? He was great.
And weren't you supposed to be a one-off on that when you were supposed to dig up the body in the basement, but they loved you so much, you guys kept coming back for the whole series?
Well, Bob Newhart insisted on a live audience because you get feedback, and I'm grateful.
But you were
Tony. I mention Tony Pappenfuss and John Bowles?
Yeah, those are your brothers.
But you always were sober.
Yeah,
excuse me.
But you were supposed to be just a one-off on that, and you kept coming back.
We're talking about your brothers. I don't think I know their names.
Yeah, what are their names?
John Bowles and Tony Pappenfuss. Tony Pappenfuss was my brother Daryl, and John Bowles, more of a blonde, was my other brother, Daryl.
There we go.
Thank you for that.
Your book, and it really, you were, you from what I'm reading and what I've read so far with the reviews and stuff, I mean, this is basically a memoir of your life. You were a little bit of a troublemaker early on in your life. You got popped.
I find that hard to believe.
You got popped a few times. You enjoyed a little bit of the sauce, and it was really an up and down career. And you mention in the book.
Not that, our William.
Yes, that you know what? You've gotten many second chances in your life.
Yeah. I consider myself very lucky, you know. Met a good lady.
Your wife is great. Sharon is great.
That makes all the difference.
She is so easy to deal with, and I know with a couple of different producers that we've had, she has been just absolutely fantastic with us. And, of course, organizing the charity stuff that we did years ago with her, she's great.
I had no idea. I can't coordinate it, surprise, these things. And without her, I just don't know. But thank you for saying that, and I'll tell her.
Yeah, she's always been. Now, I want to ask you about this. And Haney and I were talking about it for the past couple of days. And I believe years ago when you were on, you told us a little bit about it. But settle some truths. You went to school with Elvis Presley, and you knew him.
Well, he didn't know me. I followed him around a lot. And he went to a school not far from where I live, but I went to a different public school. He lived in a housing project. My wife once said, quit telling those stories. They'll know how old you are. But it was just he made such a great impression on a lot of people. Keith Richards says he sparked a dream. But I got to go in his house one time. He was playing the piano. Didn't know me. But Mr. Lansky of Lansky Brothers let me ride out there. And that's a big thrill. We played football together when I was in high school, but I wasn't playing on his team. He'd have these all-night parties, and I'd find out he's going and start at midnight at the amusement park. I tell about him in the book.
And, yeah.
I hope somebody can read it. Cause
now, I want to.
You know, it's amazing. To this day, when you go to Memphis, each and every person in that town will have their own Elvis story relating to what happened to them or somebody in their family. They cherish it.
Yeah, and I bet his close friends all say we're lying, but I don't pretend to know him, but was around him quite a bit, and I got to see three concerts, and I think I know. I knew the young guy, not the older caricature, you know.
Right.
I mean, and he was very generous and very polite to the fans, because that was to our benefit. So,
but I believe you were doing. You got to tell this story if you can. You were doing one interview and how you used to follow Elvis around. Didn't you sneak into one of his late night movies that he was seeing, and they were all in front, and you kind of sat in the back while Elvis was getting a run of a movie late at night?
Oh yeah, you got a great memory. That's exactly what happened. Sometimes I'd just get in and sit there a little bit, especially if I had to go to school the next day. But just to say I got in, and I'd never go with anybody. I didn't want them to misbehave or us to get caught. I had a story. If I got caught, I'd say I'm a friend of George Klein's.
Yeah.
His good friend.
Yeah, and DJ.
I didn't have to use it, but I don't want to bore anybody down memory lane, but he became the highest paid entertainer in the world. And I said, I was in his house listening to him.
Yes!
We played football together.
Yeah.
He said, you want to sit in a limo? And I said, I don't want to get it dirty. And he said, oh, if Bardol won't get it dirty, you won't hurt it. That was a nickname for a friend of his. But, you know, I didn't know he'd have an effect till later and later.
Well, yeah, like you said, you knew him as the younger Elvis, and not the caricature that he became. The thing that interests me about your stories about Elvis and how you were able to get into the limo, get into his house, go to the movie theater and all that with Elvis was before they died, we talked to, I think, every one of the Memphis Mafia who hung around. Marty Lacker, Lamar Fike,
Sonny and Red.
And they would always tell us stories that people would try to get into the movie theaters. Even celebrities, singer, like Matt Davis one time tried to go and with Elvis to watch a movie. They put him a couple of seats back, and he started saying, hey, I thought I was supposed to be sitting next to Elvis. And the Memphis Mafia would quickly show him the door. And I'm just thinking, how can a young guy like you at that time, Elvis knew that, you know, you were a kid around there, but to get in there without them bothering you.
Well, I happened to have worked with Red later, ironically, but I would let them get in, and then you go. I think there may have been a night I couldn't get in, or they locked the door too quickly. He didn't stop. He had a president of his fan club, a handicapped kid, that come in the wheelchair, but I didn't sit up close. I wouldn't even ask for popcorn or Coke because I didn't know if you had to pay. And I start to offer them money, and they say, what are you doing, man? You don't know what. I just eavesdropped a little bit. I could tell it better. I do tell a story I eavesdropped in the book. And also, speaking of the book real quickly, I talk about some disgraceful behavior. I think if George Orwell said, if they write a book, and autobiography or biography, and they don't, then they're probably lying.
Right. So,
and there's more defects than than virtues, but that's why I said it could be the stupidest thing. Who tells? There may still be a warrant out for you. Who tells these stories?
You mentioned very quickly, and I know we're running out of time, William, that you worked with Red West. A lot of people don't know that Red West, even while he was with Elvis, became, first of all,
a pretty
accomplished stuntman, and then got some pretty good acting roles later in his life.
Yeah, Red, we played football, and I hit him from the blind side. I probably barely weighed 130 pounds or something, and he got mad at me and said, man, I told you not to do that. I have a bad leg. But then 10, 15 years later, I did today's FBI with him and got to know him a little bit, enough that we exchanged calls, but he sent a buddy on Deadwood and said, tell him, I said, kick him in the a-hole. Red was a really tough guy, as you know better than I. He stood up for Elvis when he was young, and he really cared about Elvis, the ironic thing. And but nothing lasts forever. And
we are just so glad that you have had a chance to come back on and spend a little time with us again.
Oh,
we used to love it when you would come on all the time, and you'd always have a story or something nice to say. And the book is out now. Yes, I am that guy. I'm that guy. The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at all the retailers, Target, Walmart, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And good luck.
William, you know, with this book, I guess you're confessing your sins, but you've never been anything but nice to us, and we appreciate it.
That's really sweet, man. You know, I don't know what to say, but we all have another side. take care
of
yourself.
All right, we're going to be watching on the 31st.
All right, and congratulations for your longevity. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. William Sanderson. He's that guy.
Yep.
He's that.
That's E.B. Farnham.
Deadwood, HBO on the 31st of this month, and his book out now.
Runs a little hotel in Deadwood.
We're Stan and Haney.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin, feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for making us a part of your afternoon. Greatly appreciated. About 25, 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails, hour away from our question of the week. Been telling you about this this week. 96 K-Rock welcomes. You know, let's do it the way Haney wanted to, because it sounds better. Stan and Haney welcomes.
Welcome.
The Rolling Stones No Filter 2019 Tour.
That's right. The Stan and Haney Show welcomes.
The Rolling Stones. Yeah. Saturday, August 31st, Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami. Listen, because we're going to have them for you. Your tickets to the summer's hottest concert tour. Details are coming up, but we're going to have multiple chances for you to go see the Rolling Stones
as we welcome them.
As Stan and Haney welcome the Rolling Stones. See, we can get away with that because it's welcomes.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has the right to welcome somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Presents is a different thing.
Because
that means you got skin in the game.
Yeah. It's much more economically feasible to welcome.
Yes. So Stan and Haney welcome the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
More details coming soon.
That's right. We welcome them.
Yeah, and we do. Welcome to America.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Sunshine State.
See, they happen to be playing here.
Yep.
And we're pleased.
Yeah.
So therefore, we welcome them.
Let's give you a chance to win. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List. This is a list based on answers from a survey. Let me lock the phones down. I'll take them cold.
You friggin' daredevil.
Yeah. Survey done. People answer it. If you get one of the top 10 answers, we can give you a prize. Here's what we have available. So be aware of that. As we get towards the end of the week, it gets thinner. We have Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. You know it. You love it. Ask for it by name. Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. We have gift certificate to Bam's Restaurant in Naples. We have a couple of pairs left. If you want to see the Ronnie James Dio hologram show, this is where you got a live band and they bring up the hologram on stage of Dio, and you're like, oh my God, is he there? That's going to be on the 31st. And then we have some tickets to the WWE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour coming to Hertz Arena on Monday, July 22nd. Tickets are available, but we can get you in if you need a pair of tickets and you answer correctly. Here's the category. And I'm going to be real firm on the answers because it's a one-word answer. A recent survey was done for people to ask them to sum up what they want more out of their lives in one word. So I have the top 10 things people want more of in their lives. You must answer it in one word. 277-9600. You get one of those one word answers. We're going to give you a prize. Winner's choice. Recent survey. Top 10 things on the board. Ask people what they want more of in their lives. One word answer. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rob.
Rob, one word answer. What do you want more of in your life?
Sex.
Nope. There's one that could be, but sex is not the one word answer on the board. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Can you hear me? Things are very squirrely. The texting is screwed up, and I'm having trouble with my phones. I know what it is. Sugar ants. Ahoy, who's this?
Frank.
Frank, in one word. One of the top 10 things people want more of in their lives.
Joy.
Yeah, app number 5 on the list. Joy. What would you like, buddy?
How about some WWE tickets?
You got them. Hold on. Just like that. That's how it's played. Joy. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are we at work today?
Pulling in right now.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a bartender.
Oh, all right. Nice
God bless
job.
You.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
That's hard work.
It is.
How many times are you hit upon per night?
It really depends. Maybe in my younger days. I'm not, you know, in the 20s anymore, so.
Marcy, what goes into a bee's knees?
Oh, God, I don't know.
All right, never mind. I was told some gin, some honey.
Now, is that a regular gin or a slow gin?
Not a fizz. Sorry, Marcy. We're being distracted.
What is your favorite drink to make?
Grasshopper?
No, actually a really good margarita, but
I use a little less juice, a little more tequila, and lots of fruit.
That's why you're so popular.
Yeah, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're never written up for overpouring, are you? You know, a little bit more than a shot goes into a glass.
Oh, yeah, a lot more than a shot.
I just listen to what John Taffer has to say whenever I watch that bar rescue, and he always yells at the bartenders.
Well, he's a killjoy.
Yeah, you're stealing from your owner.
John Taffer would just roll, I don't know, he'd probably walk out and wouldn't even give us a chance if he saw our board.
Marcy, what I want you to win, what's on the list?
Happiness.
Would that fall under joy?
No.
Joy, that's, happiness.
No, hold it. We already got joy. Don't take your one-word answer back.
Okay.
Because it's the number one answer. Happiness.
Yes! Woo!
So,
is number one.
How do we differentiate between happiness
this is
and
why,
joy?
This is why I said one-word answer, the most popular one-word answer given.
Oh, okay. It's one word. What they said.
Correct. All right. Marcy, what do you want?
I don't even know what the prizes are, to be honest.
All right.
I was just driving to work and heard you.
All right, here we go. I hope you listen every day.
I do.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
We have Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. Have you tried that lately?
I have not.
It's delicious.
People like to use that in some sort of Bloody Mary concoction.
You know what? Oh, it just dawned on me. Can you win a bottle of barbecue sauce, pick it up, bring it to the bar, and create a drink with it?
I'm sure I could. I actually make the spice mix that goes into our Bloody Mary.
And,
so.
we could call it something like the Stan and Haney, created by Marcy.
I love that idea.
Can I give you a bottle of barbecue sauce?
That works for me.
And then I want you to go to work on it, and then maybe in a couple of weeks or so, if you come up with the perfect drink, we'll have you come down and we'll taste it.
Okay, I love that idea. All right, perfect.
All right, hold on.
Because I know somebody's done that.
I know. I think you can find a way to put it in a drink.
Because I forget when it was, but a listener contacted us and said, you really need to try this drink. You know, using the barbecue sauce.
Well, hers would be the official.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, the concept already seems to work.
Yep. All right, we have happiness, we have joy. There's eight more on the list. Recent survey asked people, in one word, what do you want more of in your life? One word. Ahoy, who's this?
This is James.
James, one word we're looking for. You want more of it in your life?
Love.
Love. The actual word love is not in the top 10. There might be other ones that kind of go along with it.
What's love got to do with it?
Yep.
What's
but
love
a secondhand emotion?
Yeah.
One word. If your one word makes it into the top 10, then you are eligible for a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Tim.
Tim, what you want more of in your life, in one word?
Stability.
That's a good one, and it is number 9 on the list. Stability. Awesome. You get a prize. What would you like?
Do you have any pewter mug?
I won't have pewter mug until June 1st.
All right.
Now, if you'd like to wait, I'll make sure that you get one. Or you can pick up Bam's Restaurant right now if you want some food. It's down in Naples, too.
You know what? I'd really like to wait for the pewter mug.
Okay. All right. A lot of people do. All right. Appreciate the call. Nice way to get a win there. Let me explain about the pewter mug for folks that are calling up and asking. Pewter mug and the Stan and Haney Show have had a relationship for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely popular. They give us a monthly allotment. Rarely does it last till the end of the month because people love it so much. And I won't have new pewter mug until.
But we will.
We'll get them from now until who knows when. But right now, we gave away our monthly allotment. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Robert.
Robert, we have happiness, we have joy, we have stability. In one word, what do you want more out of life?
Money.
Number two answer on the board. Happiness and money are number one and number two. What would you like, buddy?
Barbecue sauce.
Done. Hold on. Take a couple of more calls, then I'll give you the list. I'm just looking on here, and there might have been a couple of libs that answered. I'm not saying that specifically. Ahoy, who's this?
This is David.
David, what do you think's on this list? One word, what you want more out of life?
Love.
Not no. there. No, not there. I'm sorry. Maybe a libertarian answer, too. 2779600. We'll take, we'll see what we got. Let's try another one here. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan and Hanny, this is Mark.
Mark, you ready to... A
lot of energy there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too.
I'm always happy to talk to you guys.
What do you think's in this top 10? One word you want more of in your life.
Fun.
Fun? Not there. Nobody said specifically fun. Here we go.
Can I guess before you give it away?
Yes, absolutely.
Zest.
I'm sure that came in number 11.
Yeah, probably.
You want try again?
What do you want more of?
Top 10 what people want more of in their lives.
Affordable term life insurance.
One word.
Oh. I don't know. Truck?
Nope. Here we go.
Here's, boat?
Nope. You had that. It didn't bring you anything, you know, you want more of that. In
well,
your
I
life.
Think you got to put it in the water to get the full effect.
You got to have a buddy fix it first.
Yeah. Go ahead. Spend the money. Get the boat. Absolutely. We can fix it.
Get that thing right in the water. I just got to say this in 10 seconds. No, I'm not doing that. Getting it. Haney buys a boat. It needs just minor repair on the engine.
And I purchased the boat knowing this.
Knowing this because a friend of his, well, let's just say a leech.
So before I purchase the boat, I speak to someone and say, this boat needs some work.
No problem. It'll be in the water before you know it.
So I should go ahead and pull the trigger.
Absolutely.
I should buy this
pull
boat.
Pull the trigger right now. It sat in Haney's driveway because nobody bothered to keep their promise in fixing the boat. Now,
and it, go ahead.
Haney finally says, every time I look in my driveway, this is such a disappointment. I'm going to sell the boat. He gets rid of the boat to somebody he knows, contacts him a year or so later.
How's that boat working for you?
You were right. Just needed a couple adjustments. It's the best thing. Every weekend, we're out on the water.
Yep. As a matter of fact, we went ahead and sold our other boat because this one's so much better.
Yup. Number 10. Number
little Stan luck in my life.
Yep, that right there. Number 10, passion. Number 9, somebody got it, stability. Number 8, confidence. Number 7, fulfillment. Number 6, balance. Number 5, joy. Number 4, peace. Number 3, freedom. And then, of course, 1 and 2, money and happiness. We're going to take a break. When we come back, your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll open the phones back up so you can answer our question of the week. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us Thursday afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your ride home this afternoon. Our first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails, and in about 30 minutes, our question of the week. It is not a yes or no answer. You have the right answer because it's your story. It should trigger something in your brain, a memory, and we'll take your phone calls and have you answer our question of the week. Let's take a look at traffic for your drive home. This is our first look.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. 13,000 block of South Tamiami Trail right by the Longhorn Steakhouse. Fort Myers, crash. 12,000 block of Commerce Lakes Drive. Looks like it might be an apartment accident in the parking lot. Lehigh Acres, crash. Gunnery Road North and Lee Boulevard. And on the way out to Fort Myers Beach, crash, Pine Ridge Road and Summerlin Road. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, here he goes. He's going to tell you today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
You know, it's a question that is being asked more and more frequently with the march of technology.
Yeah, I ask it a lot. What is it?
Just because you can do something, should you do it? We have the technology to do something.
You've talked about stuff like that before, cloning people and stuff. They can do it.
Well,
do you wanna?
This is a very disturbing story. I don't know that it's appropriate for young ears.
Oh, really? I'll leave the room.
Because they have the technology and they've done it.
What?
They've created spinach ice cream.
Yeah, they have.
Is everything in the world now dependent on social media?
Yeah, I'd say a vast majority is, yes.
Well, Dateline Torrington, Connecticut.
Ah, that's my old man's stomping grounds.
There is a 29-year-old man who has a warrant out for his arrest.
Yeah.
And he has graciously announced he will voluntarily turn himself in if he gets 15,000 likes.
What, on his profile?
I guess. F-book.
Torrington had, and I remember as a kid, it's still there, I guess. Back in the old 1930s, movie companies like Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, all that, had the market on not only making films, distributing films, and showing films. So everywhere you went, there was one of their theaters. That was busted up years and years, decades ago. Torrington, Connecticut still has one of those vintage Warner movie theaters that they have done all over, where they can do shows there, motion balconies, all that from like the old days.
And
it was the Warner Theater.
It used to be deluxe.
Gorgeous.
You had this on the grab bag, an effeminate Michigan man.
Yes.
Is willing to trade his life for his Louis Vuitton man purse.
And it's a $1,700 one. It's I guess if you talk to the ladies, that's not that much. Those things go for $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000.
What the?
Louis Vuitton. His is $1,700. What was it, a money clip?
A man shoots himself in the junk.
Jeez.
And as doctors try to save his male essence,
yeah,
drugs fall out of him during the surgery.
This is 2 days in a row you've had a story about a man's junk falling off.
And finally, Dateline, Fort Pierce, Florida.
Ah, the armpit of Florida. One of the worst places in the state.
A man blew through a red light right in front of a police officer. He did not pull over for the sirens. He had a perfectly reasonable excuse as to why he did not pull over for the police.
What was that?
Because at the time, he was, quote, receiving sexual acts from his passenger.
It happens.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter, we try to give you a little bit each and every day. It's very important. I know, sweetheart. It's 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies?
McDonald's has been hit with over 24 sexual harassment lawsuits. Now, despite the claims, McDonald's management will tell you it's a great place to work. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
best things about working at McDonald's.
Ah, top best things about working at McDonald's.
When no one's looking, you can drink Coca-Cola syrup straight from the source.
Yep. It's always great fun.
Thanks to your generous employee discount, the dollar menu is 99 cents for you.
It's a little steep for Dave.
At least you don't have to deal with vegans. Odds are overwhelming someone you work with also sells weed.
Yep.
Laugh it up.
Crazy action in the ball pit after closing.
Yeah, man.
You come home reeking of Mac Nuggets.
That's true. You work at any restaurant. I know when I worked at Mr. Steak.
Briefly.
Well, yeah.
In
the broad sense of the term.
Well, and your career at Mr. Steak tragically cut short by a horrific injury that's still talked about at Mr. Steak.
Yeah, to this very day, even though Mr. Steak's out of business. But you have that grease and smoke coming up at you when you're working at any restaurant.
Oh, you end up wearing it, yeah.
You're wearing it.
Top best things about working at McDonald's. You rock a hairnet like nobody's business.
Damn right. Didn't have to wear them in our day. No gloves needed. No hairnet needed. Just go and serve it up.
Hours are very flexible because the Backstreet Boys are great about covering shifts. And finally, the very top thing about working at McDonald's.
Yes.
Your friends know better than to hit you up for money.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Email time, ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Oh, I need to find out if I have the email from yesterday that I didn't get a chance to read. Yeah, here it is. I want to catch up on that one first. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com. Scatter. Remember when he played the game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he emailed us. Guys, and half of it I think is sincere, but it's from an unstable man.
Well, he makes no bones about that.
I just thought you all would like to know that I was playing bingo the other week, and I won. And when I did, I screamed, "Ah, bingo!" I got to choose from a selection of gift cards. I went with the $30 Amazon gift card. When I decided that I was going to make a purchase of something from Amazon, I went to StanandHaney.com.
That's awesome, Scatter. Thank you.
And bought it from there. It doesn't cost anything extra since it's free for me with the gift card, too. I thought I'd go through with my purchase. Let's all just keep the website going and shop through shop Amazon through StanandHaney.com by clicking the button bar on the website. I do not shop for my health. I shop to keep the Stan and Haney webpage up and active. Stop being greedy and just do it, you other listeners. I need a show to listen to in the afternoon. Signed, Scatter.
What? What an effing hero.
Yeah, he really stepped it up. This is signed Professor Robert. He is a drafting and design expert. Ahoy, Stan. I have a solution for your hatred of RVs. I got that one still there, still in the parking lot at my condo. I got a solution for your hatred of RVs. When the new wife gets tired of living in a condo, please get in touch with me. I will gladly draw house plans, and we can build her a nice big house in a fancy gated community. Besides, everybody knows the second one's house has to be bigger and better than the first ex-wife's house. Thank you, Professor Robert. I don't know that I can afford you. This is our friend Meg. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I used to have a soft spot for Dave the Waterman. He barely makes any money, but when I heard that Dave doesn't care about animals and refuses to help Matt Mangus, program director Matt Mangus, after everything this man has done for him, I now understand Stan's disdain for Dave. I'm an animal lover, and if I had a boss like that, the things that he has done for Dave, I would clear my schedule for him anytime. But that's just me. Guys, I love your show. Signed, Meg.
Thank you, Meg.
And thanks for seeing it my way.
It's a quick way to get an email read.
Yeah. I should have put that at the top of the list. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Okay, Pelosi, dumbass Schumer. What else?
Well, they're outdoing themselves.
Stupid bitch. Brian Howe? What? Hold on. Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, I would like to offer you my help in getting rid of Cousin Eddie. You get me into Turtle Head, and I'll find out what's going on and get rid of the problem. Period.
Yeah, he would.
Now, did you guys see the interview in last Sunday's newspaper with Brian Howe? Yes, we did. It was the repeat of the one that was in there earlier.
I didn't see
it.
They
just put it in a different... Remember when he called up all bent out of shape about him moving? And,
okay, yeah. Why'd they reprint that?
Because they got nothing else to put... Never mind. A different section. Okay. I found the article very interesting on Brian. Also, I want to know what Dave did. Oh, I'm glad he brought this up. Think about this. Remember how the other day, go down the list, take pictures, which he still hasn't done, of the stuff that you've given him.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about this. I want to know what Dave did with the first class skateboard I gave him. Does he ride the thing?
Yes, he does.
Does he still have it?
Yes.
So he does have it?
Yes.
That's his mode of transportation.
I've seen it quite recently. He loved
the
that
very
thing.
One.
Yep.
All right, Guardian, he has it. He better, or he will never see another gift from me. That's the tone I like, Guardian.
Yeah, he was carrying it around with him the other day.
Good. You sure that's the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was thinking, what's he doing with something that nice?
Next time I see him with that skateboard, though, I'll ask him, hey, where'd you get that from? Who gave you that? Let's see how he answers it. Oh, I bought it, brah. Now, did you see what that stupid bitch said about these kids that died in custody at the Border Patrol? Yes, I did. They made it. They had to have it stricken from the record. Now that their deaths were, intentional. Yeah, I saw it. And finally, I love the fact that Trump is standing his ground with old sagging face bitch Pelosi and dumbass Schumer. I don't blame him one bit.
Mm-mm.
The way that they have treated him yesterday, it was like he gave them the finger and said F you.
And they know exactly what they're doing.
Stay the course, Trump. They will pay a huge price in 2020. That's my opinion. Sign the Guardian.
They will. You know what they say.
What? Birds gotta fly, fish gotta fry?
Well, they're accusing Trump of a cover-up, but they don't say exactly what.
Right.
And they can't really identify a crime.
Right.
The truth shall set you free.
Yep.
And when finally, all of this stuff that so many people already know but can't talk about blatantly or literally is finally declassified, I think anybody with a brain, regardless of where you are on the spectrum, when you go and look at what was done, you'll at least have an informed opinion. Because if you're one of those people that's been sucked in by Rachel Maddow and all this, I don't care who you are or what you believe. If you realize, wait a second, you mean they've been lying to me for 2 years?
Yeah.
Every friggin' night?
Yep.
Yes, they have.
Question of the week is next.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998, and that's the truth. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Mark Haney in the news in about 30 minutes. Our question of the week coming up here in seconds. We'll also get you updated on traffic for your drive home. But first, Xfinity. Haney and I are Xfinity customers, and we love Xfinity. And now, with Xfinity XFi, you have more than fast and reliable Wi-Fi. You have Wi-Fi that you can control.
You are the Alexander Haig of your household. You are in charge here.
Yep. Trying to gather the family for dinner? You can pause the Wi-Fi. Need to get the kids offline for bed? You can set the curfew. Isn't that something?
You're the boss.
Yep. Want to make sure your kids are actually off their devices? You can check who's online with the Xfinity My Account app.
Don't let the power go to your head, though.
No,
Oh, get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for just $40 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, upgrade to get more than double the speed for just $5 more a month for 12 months. Go to Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY, or better yet, visit an Xfinity store today to learn more.
Requires eco bill and auto pay, N62119. Restrictions apply. New basic TV and performance starter internet customers only. Equipment taxes, fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Let's get you updated on traffic, but before we do that, I have the phones on lockdown.
Any particular reason,
yeah,
or are you just exercising random control?
It's always fun to do. It's always fun, especially when the lines are ringing and I lock them down.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't. They were blank so that we can get ready for this. Our question of the week. Rob, when I open up the phone lines, just make sure people want to answer our question. This is something that's going to trigger something in your head. And we'll take your answers to our question of the week. We asked something like this years ago, a similar question, but it's always interesting. When you were in school, and I don't know if they do it anymore, but they did it when I was in school, at a certain age, it's usually fourth or fifth grade, they test every single student for their aptitude in music. And they give everybody those black and white recorders to play the little notes to see if anybody has any musical talent whatsoever in the school. And then it's sign up for school band if you want to play an instrument in school. Now, some people signed up and were part of school band and you rented your instruments. Others, I'm sure you might have been one of them, Annie. You know what? I want to play guitar. I want to be in a band. I'm going to go and pick up a guitar and play a guitar and see where that takes me. At some point in your life, in your school upbringing, you were tested or at least attempted to play a musical instrument. Our question of the week, what musical instrument did you play or attempt to play in school? Do you still play it? Do you not even have a clue of how to play it anymore? What musical instrument did you play in school? 277-9600. Phone lines are released. We'll take your phone calls as soon as we finish traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just one thing on the board this half hour. It's a crash. Lehigh Acres, 13th Street Southwest, and... Now, I'm familiar with Alva Avenue. What's E-L-V-A? How do you say that?
Elva.
Elva? Elva Avenue South. So 13th Street Southwest and Elva Avenue South. And you are up to date. They did it when I was in school. My sisters had to go through the same thing. You go and they hand out the recorders. The little flute. What is that? What they are, like a flute? Like
yeah, a recorder.
Yeah. And they wanted you to see if you could play that, to see if you had any musical aptitude. And then you might have been able to rent a musical instrument, a brass or woodwind, and learn and play in the school band or marching band. Our question, what musical instrument did you play in school? 277-960. I barely got by with the recorder. I could not read music very well, although I could learn the basics. So I picked up the drums, the marching band drums, snare and bass. So I played in the junior high band, and I played in the high school band for 1 year, and then I said, I can't do this anymore. I would play the cymbals, the triangle, the snare drum, the bass drum, the tambourine. And last grade I got was an A, believe it or not. But after my freshman year in high school band, I said, that's it. I don't want to do this. I don't enjoy this. I'm not good at it. But yeah, it was the drums that I tried. I know my sisters played the trombone and the trumpet. What about you? Did you participate at all in any of that, or did you just pick up the guitar?
Not in high school. At an extremely young age, I played the piano, but that wasn't in school. What I did do in elementary school, I think it was fifth grade, I played the trumpet for about a year.
Ah, all right.
And I didn't mind it. What I minded was there was too much structure.
Oh, yeah. It's all about structure. And that's part of, you know, training the kids, discipline, dedication, structure.
And I drove my poor mother crazy. I told you, she's very talented and can play multiple instruments herself. And so at the point that, you know, I'm like, you know, 13, 14, she's totally given up on me ever playing anything. And I'm like, I want to play the guitar. And she goes, yeah, well, good luck with that. I'm not getting you one.
Right.
And so then
you did it on your own.
I went and got a job and bought a guitar, and very frustrating for her that's what ends up sticking.
Turn the rental in on the trumpet.
Yep.
Yeah. Because everybody, there was a company that would rent this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
277-9600. What musical instrument did you play in school? Let's go to the phones. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Kristen.
Let me guess, you played the flute.
No, I did not. I played the violin.
Oh, now I heard that's because I have a violin, by the way. I can't play it. That is a really hard instrument to play, isn't it?
I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I started playing it in fourth grade.
And do you still play it to this day?
No, I don't, but I still have it.
So you could if you had to.
Yeah, I guess I probably could. I played it up until high school.
All right. Nice. Appreciate that, the violin.
Now, my sister made Mom proud, and to this day, she gives piano lessons, and her big thing ended up being the cello, and she's played in symphony orchestras.
Wow.
And,
277-9600.
That's right, my sister that you were always lusting after.
How's she doing, by the way? She doing all right? Everything good?
She's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Just tell her I was thinking of her.
You know, my nephew's in high school now.
Yeah, I know. That's, geez. I remember when he was born. what musical instrument did you play in school? Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Corey from Naples.
What's your first name?
Corey.
Hey, Corey. What musical instrument did you play in school?
Well, in middle school, we had a mandatory piano class, or keyboard class. But after that, I realized that wasn't for me. Tried out the band that played the baritone for a year.
And was that not for you either?
No. Band's not my thing.
And if you went into somebody's house today and they had a piano sitting there, would you be able to play anything?
Maybe Mary had a little lamb.
277-9600. I told you, I brought this up before. A buddy of my old man's, the least talented human being I've ever known, went up to a piano that our neighbors had, and he went in and he started playing, at least for me, who about 12 years old, he started playing the piano, and I said, that sounds phenomenal. And he said, well, I don't know how to play the piano. I said, I just heard you play the piano. That's great. He says, let me tell you something, Stan. The trick to sound good, just hit every other key as like a chord and then just learn how to move it around. And he says, you'll sound real good.
You know, okay? I told you I'm reading a book about Ike Turner. And this guy knew everything about music and the music business. And when he was a little kid, his mother had managed to get him a piano. And then there was a house fire, and the piano was severely damaged. And it wasn't something that could be replaced. He didn't even know how his mom was able to get it in the first place.
Right.
And so as a kid, like 9 years old, he's like, I've got to fix this piano. And I guess, you know, like half of it was burned and damaged. And he used everything that was available to him. I think he said he used tires, and he listed all of these things that he pulled parts from and managed to repair the piano. And he always says, and I'm always hustling. I'm always thinking about how can I make another dollar. He goes, and so I was able to repair this piano, and then I realized people will pay good money just to have you tune a piano, yeah, much less put it together. Well, I can do that.
And made his money.
And he's 9 years old.
Yeah. He was. So many people associate Ike Turner with Ike and Tina Turner. Oh, and Ike did this to
He was everywhere.
He was a music pioneer and was part of the first rock and roll song ever, Rocket 88. And in his teenage years, his job was to find talent.
Mm-hmm.
He was that spectacular. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy. Hello, this is Mike.
Mike, what musical instrument did you play when you were in school?
I also played the violin.
You still play it?
No, I don't.
Were you any good at it?
I was pretty good. My grandfather used to build them.
Oh, wow.
And he actually gave me one when he found out that I was taking a violin class in middle school. And he gave me his very first violin that he ever built.
Wow.
And I hope you still have it to this very day.
I don't have it. My aunt actually has it.
All right, well, good. It's still in the family.
It's still in the family, and it's going to stay in the family.
Good deal. Good deal. 277-9600. We all had to do it. We had to learn those recorders. We had to see if we had any musical talent when we were in school, and then maybe you'd get to rent an instrument. What musical instrument did you play in school? Because they'd never make the parents buy it. You could rent it because we don't know if your child's going to continue playing. And to get yourself a saxophone or a French horn
prohibitively expensive.
Was very expensive. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Georgia.
George?
Georgia?
Georgia on my mind. What musical instrument did you play in school?
I played the drums.
Now, did you play just the snare and the bass, like for marching band, or did you learn the whole set?
I played in marching band. I played the quads.
All right, good for you. And then you quit?
No, I kept on going. Did through college, and I just play at home. I got a kit now at home, and teaching my daughter how to play as well.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Yeah, my old man wanted me to take the step up. All right, you're in marching band. And that's probably why I quit high school band. He said, you're going to go and now, what are you going to play the snare drum and bass drum all your life and march around? You're going to learn to play the drum set. And I'll never forget, he found an excellent teacher. He was a musician, a drummer that would play in bands, and he gave lessons. And he gave me lessons for a couple of months, and he told me, he says, I'm going to tell you, you can figure out a way to tell your dad, but you shouldn't be playing the drums. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I knew what he was talking about, because playing the drums requires a lot of limb independence.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep time with one foot to do the hi-hat, time on the other foot to keep the bass drum going, keep a rhythm going with both hands, and know how to go and spread the yourself around on the other drums. And I couldn't do that. I had no independence. If I just had to play with my hands and drum, I could do it. If I had to go and keep a beat going with the bass drum pedal and the high, I could do that. Put it all together, and Stan was gone. He said, I don't want to keep taking your money. I said, thank you. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Margarita.
Hi, Margarita. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What musical instrument did you play in school?
I played the cello.
You played the cello?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, like my sister.
Yeah, now how did you wind up playing? Did they start you first playing the violin, and then they said, okay, well, how about the cello, or is that something you wanted right off the bat?
I was tricked into it. I was told.
Usually is. Yeah.
I was told to put my first choice as my second choice on a list they gave us.
So yeah, right. They did. They gave you a list of what you would like to play.
Yes. So I put the violin as my second choice and the cello as my first, and I wound up playing the cello.
and you don't have it anymore, do you?
Actually, I still do.
And do you still play it?
Yes, I still do.
Wow. All right. Do you play it for people? Are you in like some kind of group?
No, I do not. I do not play it for people, but I do help out students that want to learn and better themselves.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
You know, the maddest my sister I've ever seen her at me.
Yeah.
Was.
You grabbed the cello?
I grabbed her cello when she wasn't around, and I started playing it like an upright bass, and she came in screaming. Oh, I had it rocking, you know, doing Stray Cat stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, she was furious.
That's funny.
Don't you ever do that again. Yep. I'm like, Stray Cat shirt, I'm a lady's cat. Oh, she's here.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Alex Jones, guys. Ahoy.
Hey, something tells me, you know, you're a rocker, you go and you do your own thing, but when you were in school, you played what sissy instrument?
Oh, I did not play a sissy instrument.
What'd you play?
I knew from the get-go I'd be a drummer. And quick little thing, I played all the drums. I played the quad, the bass, the snare, all that stuff. A fifth grade band year, I had seen a young man who will go nameless, of course, but he was the nephew of one Newt Gingrich. no joke. And he played a snare solo. And I said to my drum teacher, because I had a side drum teacher, and plus I took the band in school. And I said to him, next year I want to do a full drum solo, full drum set solo.
Yeah, they would let somebody in the band have the drum set and do a drum solo. That was a special thing.
I did that the following year, and not to get too deep, but this where I grew up in this town is a small little town in Northeast Ohio, was ruthless. If you were not on the football team, if you were not on some sort of sports team, you were treated mercilessly. And I used to get my butt kicked quite a bit on the way home from work, on the way home from school. And so when I did this, solo, I opened up my eyes after it was done, and the whole place gave me a standing O.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And that did wonders for my confidence.
Then you were Mr. Popular in school.
As you would say, Stan, I was Mr. Cool.
Mr. So. Cool in the house
now,
right there.
Of That's course, right. Alex, we'd be remiss.
Yeah, we got to get to that.
If we were to let you go without finding out what the hell's going on, Alex.
Well, right now, we took out Howard Stern, okay? You don't hear anything from him anymore now. All right, we took him out because he stole Stan's idea for the interview book. Now, we're going after Brennan. We're going after Clapper. We're going after all these scum-sucking, worthless scum who want to try and take down our freedom. 1776 will commence again.
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney and the News is next.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Just a reminder for you, tomorrow, Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show, as we head into Memorial Day weekend, we will be joined on tomorrow's show by Captain John Lazaro, retired United States Naval Reserve, draft fund presentations as we go into Memorial Day weekend. We're going to help out a few local service people and their families with a
check to this from the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, thanks to the donations from the people here in Southwest Florida. Always a pleasure.
That's awesome. You know how there's always a rivalry between the services?
Yeah.
Saw something the other day where Navy is accused of trying to hack the Air Force.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the captain knows anything about it. And what they're trying to do to the Air Force, those Navy guys. Yeah, he's going to be in tomorrow afternoon. And always great to see him and helping out local service people and their families who continue to keep us safe. Let's get you updated on traffic, then we'll have Haney in the news.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
All right, let's see what we got here. A few things on the board. A couple of things, actually. Both disabled vehicles, both in Fort Myers. Got a disabled vehicle, Alico Road and Ben Hill Griffin Parkway, and a disabled vehicle, Cape Coral Bridge and College Parkway. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it from a road watcher. Just texted us, College at the Bridge, westbound, a parking lot right now because of a disabled vehicle. And you're up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up, what am I talking about? It's happening right now. Mark Haney in the news. Brought to you by Jason and Todd.
Very quickly.
It's coming up as soon as I finish this damn sentence, which I can't seem to end right now.
Nope.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
Nightly News with David Brinkley in Washington. And John Chancellor in New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to...
What are you doing?
It's the butt. It's the thing.
Oh, of course it is.
Hold on.
You know, a minute ago, you were promoing me like I'm coming on.
Look, I can't get it out of the machine either. Oh, there it is. Hold on. Let's try it again. All right, it's up. All right. Hold on.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Dun, 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 dun.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, May 23rd.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
Stan, you are a confirmed Beatles maniac.
I love the Beatles. Always have since I was a kid.
Do people think Paul McCartney is cool?
Probably not anymore. I think he's cool.
You won't by the time I'm done.
Really? What do you know? What do you got? What do you got for me?
I love Weird Al.
Yeah.
He's done some great parody songs over the years. And at one point, Weird Al wanted to do a parody of Wings' Live and Let Die.
Okay.
It could have become an instant classic, but Paul McCartney refused to allow it. Live and Let Die under Weird Al's treatment would have become chicken pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I like it. It's got a little something to it there.
Why wouldn't Paul allow this?
Why?
Because he didn't want to promote eating meat.
Oh, yeah, he's a vegan. Thanks to Linder. And then his one-legged wife was a landmine one.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you if Weird Al went and asked him now, he'd probably say okay. He's still a vegan, but he'd probably say fine. But that point's moot now.
What's wrong with people? Nobody wants to have fun.
Yeah. He's very protective of his songs. After all, he had the Beatles catalog taken from him. He just got it back.
Yeah, well, he's the one that told him how to do it.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a thought in his head.
Nope, it wasn't.
Talking about Michael Jackson. Paul McCartney in graphic detail told him how to steal all his songs.
Yeah, because he told him the money is in the publishing.
Mm-hmm.
You own the songs. You make, that's where you make the money.
And so Michael Jackson said,
Yep. That's why Jack Bruce and Eric Clapton love collecting the money from Cream. Ginger Baker, on all of those, with just the three of them, had none of the publishing rights to the songs the two of them wrote. And I think even to this day, he's riddled with arthritis. He's got to play because he's broke.
And he's still a madman.
And he's still a madman.
There is one country in the world that is located in all four hemispheres.
Jeez. Don't look at me. Geography, I'm tough. That's tough.
Kiribati.
I never even heard of it.
Is the only country in the world that is in all four hemispheres. It is made up of islands in the Pacific Ocean that are on both sides of the two lines that divide the world into hemispheres, the international date line and the equator.
That's pretty neat. I wonder what kind of clock they go on, and then part of the islands are in the winter when the other part is in the summer. Just go a few miles and we're into summer.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, isn't it?
Go a couple of miles this way and it's a different day.
Yeah, I think that's like where they filmed Lost. They had to do it there.
Yeah, that's got
to be it. Because it was like, you know, with the polar bears and the palm trees.
Yeah, well, there was a zoo there.
Yeah.
And the Dharma Project.
Mm-hmm.
That show, you want to talk about disappointment.
Oh.
I don't know how long that show was on. First season, I watched it.
Yeah, you're glued.
Second season, I'm like, this is getting... I dropped out. I said, can't do this.
Yeah,
can't
I don't remember when I just...
This no longer interests me. I can't follow
it. You know why? Because they didn't know.
That's right.
And once you realize that, it was like, oh, okay, I call BS. But the first season, you thought... Oh boy, this must be going somewhere.
That's why. Do you remember? And I remember Rick Peterson, our production guy, and I talking about it when they did Stephen King's The Dome on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I truly hope they just end this series and don't try going off on their own." And it did end.
Yep.
They played it smart. Don't go beyond what's already written. Don't fly by the seat of your pants. Like Lost did. Like Game of Thrones did.
Mm-hmm. And now George Martin is sitting there like the cat that ate the canary.
Oh, did you see what he said? Yeah, I'm going to write some more of these things, and it ain't going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to sell a lot more books than he would have.
Yes, he is.
You know, as technology continues its brutal march, the question is asked, just because you can, should you?
Yeah, that's a dilemma.
A small ice cream chain in New York and Los Angeles called Van Leeuwen Ice Cream realized they could make virtually any flavor ice cream they wanted.
Hmm.
It's a lot of power.
Sure is. Sure is. Just add the right ingredients.
And they've gone completely power mad because they've introduced spinach ice cream, something that no one asked for.
No.
We understand. It can be done. But don't do it. They did it anyway. They claim they did it to honor Popeye's 90th birthday.
Oh, baloney.
Well, the reviews are in. And to put it kindly, the reviews are mixed.
Yeah, I heard a clip from somebody say it tasted pretty good. It's a great color.
Mostly, people say they taste coconut cream ice cream.
All right.
But then there's the aftertaste of spinach, and it doesn't really go together.
No.
So if it was coconut cream ice cream, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
But you put spinach in it.
It ruins it.
It doesn't belong.
That's what you ever watch these, they sometimes will have them at the Costco, but you see them on TV when they're trying to push the Vitamix blenders and how you can eat healthy and all that. And they go, well, you put in some blueberries, you put in some bananas, some strawberries.
And then follow that up with some kale.
Yeah. Now you throw in a fistful of kale or spinach or radishes and you get what you, these don't taste good. You're putting in the fruit to camouflage the horrific taste of the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
The horrific taste. And they and you get all your vitamins and stuff. I'm sorry. If I'm tasting an aftertaste of kale, I ain't drinking it. I'll leave it with the strawberries, banana, and strawberries in there. And blueberries. Berries.
Blueberries? What? In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
The Diamond District sells more diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida. Therefore, they buy more diamonds than any other jeweler as well. This season has been extremely successful for Jason and Todd, and they're currently buying diamonds at a rapid pace to replace inventory. If you've ever thought of selling your diamonds or trading in on something new, now is the perfect time to visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point. Diamonds and jewelry can be rare pieces and command very high prices when evaluated by experienced and qualified professionals. The Diamond District has several GIA graduate gemologists and buyers on staff every day to help identify your treasures. The Diamond District has the largest selection of Forevermark and GIA loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. Your diamonds and jewelry could be worth lots of money and should be evaluated by an expert. Visit Jason and Todd and discover why more people choose the Diamond District when selling or trading their diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, social media is entirely out of control.
I'll agree with that. It's ruining this country.
There is a 29-year-old gent named Jose Sims of beautiful Torrington, Connecticut.
Know it well.
Jose is wanted by the police for failure to appear in court. Now, it wouldn't seem that Jose would have much bargaining power in that position. But nobody told him that. Jose offered the police a deal. He will gladly turn himself in and save them the trouble of rousting him if his wanted poster on Facebook gets 15,000 likes. The cops took the deal, and it's working out well for them.
The cops.
The Facebook post with Jose's wanted poster hit 15,000 likes. It took less than one day.
Right on.
No word on whether Jose is man enough to keep up his end of the deal.
I don't think he is going to keep up his end of the deal. I heard this morning that it was like up to 20-something thousand likes, and he hadn't turned himself in.
Well, if he doesn't, you know what that means. He's yellow.
How many is that his Facebook page, Rob? Is that his? How many does he have now? How many likes on that on the page? What does it say?
25,000.
25,000. And he's still on the lam. What a pussy.
What a yellow belly sod busting.
Help! Help! Yeah.
A man in Washington State accidentally shot himself in the junk last month, and then things got worse. 27-year-old Cameron Wilson is a convicted felon. Jeez. Who is not allowed to own a gun. So when he shot himself in the nuts,
yeah,
instead of going straight to the emergency room,
yeah, well, he knew he was wanted.
He had to stop off at the park,
yeah,
to give the gun to one of his a-hole buddies. But somehow, the fact that he had a bag of weed up his crack,
ah, jeez,
slipped his mind completely. He remembered, I'm not supposed to have a gun. Here, take my gun.
Die.
And forgot the bag of weed up his...
Yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, once it's there for a little while, you don't even recognize it now.
And when doctors were trying to surgically repair his manhood, the bag of weed fell out during surgery. Compounding things, it is worth noting that Cameron had a bag of weed up there,
yep,
inside his body, despite the fact that recreational marijuana has been legal in Washington for 6 years.
What? Unless the people that he hangs around with the guns and stuff, they want to rob him. Go ahead. Go for a grab. I got plenty on me. Do you want it?
Police searched his car later on.
Found more?
No, they didn't. They didn't find any more weed.
Oh, good. That's good news.
No, they just found the meth in his pair of bloody jeans.
Jeez.
Now, you'd think at that point he'd be done racking up charges.
Yeah, that's enough. And a lot of pain, too.
Well, after they issued a warrant a week later, he turned himself in. And when they searched him at the jail, they found yet another bag of weed where it doesn't belong, up there.
Well, you got to bring some in on the inside. What?
They also tacked on 4 charges for witness tampering after he called his girlfriend from jail and explained to her the lies she needed to tell to cover for him.
Oh, God.
He plead not guilty. I didn't do nothing.
You need to get rid of that gun, huh?
That wasn't mine.
Hello, I'm Bill Kudish of Investigative Report.
I don't know who
for
put
our
that
final
there.
Story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hey, baby. I got the plan. You tell them I didn't do it.
That's the plan.
But that's not true, baby. You did do it.
I know I did. But you tell them I did do it, then I can go home. Okay, bye-bye.
A man by the name of David Herring...
yeah.
Was driving in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida last week.
Fort Pierce. It's the stories that happen in this state either generate in Fort Myers or Fort Pierce and the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Your Stewarts, your West Palms, your Port St. Lucie's.
Well, David's driving in Fort Pierce and he blew through a red light. Unfortunately for him, the police saw him do so.
Idiot.
And they immediately got behind him to pull him over. Routine traffic stop. Who knows? Maybe he would have gotten off with a warning. But even though the lights were flashing, the siren blaring, David kept driving and driving and driving. He did eventually pull over when he was good and GD ready. When the police, you know, rationally asked, well, why didn't you pull over when you saw us? He explained he could not pull over immediately as much as he would have liked to.
Yeah.
Because his, quote, pants were down and he was, quote, receiving sexual acts from the passenger in his vehicle. Mm-hmm. That passenger was 55-year-old Rhonda Koppenhofer.
Oh, my God! Look at her!
She had a Bud Light between her legs, a crack pipe by her feet, and a rock in her mouth. She was arrested for cocaine possession, tampering with evidence, and possession of drug equipment. Out of all of this,
yeah.
Once they got a look at her,
yeah.
They forgave David.
Yeah.
He was not arrested.
Look!
Hey, Rhonda. Son, you want to take a walk with me, please? What the hell are you doing, man?
That is so bad.
And that's the news for... She likes to party.
Yes, she does, but she doesn't go to work.
For today, oh, she was working.
Oh, that was for working today, right there.
Thursday, May 23rd.
Double M-X-I-X.
Now, looky here, son. You need something like that done, you go on up to West Palm. The place is called Orchids of Asia.
Yeah.
You know the owner of the New England Patriots gets himself done. Yep. That's the way you don't pick up Rhonda.
They all know about Rhonda.
Oh, hell yeah. You know what they call her around here?
What do they call her?
They call her the bus.
Why is that?
Everybody rides. Hell, son, I can't blame you. I did Rhonda myself, but that was over, 30 years ago.
Jason and Todd. From the Diamond District.
We all had a piece of Rhonda.
Everybody rides.
But let me tell you, son, that meat is spoiled.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
Now, I can't keep your name off the report, but this is going to stick with you, son. You may want to think about moving.
We'll be back.
An almost Nixonian paranoia displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney here. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, Fort Myers got a crash. 4900 block of South Cleveland Avenue. Fort Myers, crash, 13,000 block of Palm Beach Boulevard, right by West Coast Realty. And in Lehigh Acres, got a crash at Rue LeBeau Circle and State Road 82. And you're up to date.
You really want me to do it, huh?
Yeah, man.
The first rock and roll song.
The first rock and roll song.
Who's that on that piano?
Ike Turner.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
Richard will be the first to tell you He learned how to play piano from that.
Yep.
V8 motor and this smart and designed black convertible top and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow.
Sax band.
Yeah. Everybody in the band made $20. That's it.
That was a lot of money.
They wrote this song on the way from Mississippi to Sun Records because they needed an original song. They wrote it in the car. After making $20 off this, Ike said, never again am I getting ripped off.
We're pulling out about half past eight. Going around the corner and get a bill. Everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
Began.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I was at my buddy Jason's wedding. Jason got married. I was his best man, right? That dude is like a brother to me. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Other than that, we could be twins. I'm his best man, right? I'm standing up there next to him. My other friend, Lance, one of the groomsmen. Lance is Chinese. So Jason's wedding pictures kind of look like the beginning of a bad joke. A black man, a white man, and a Chinese man walk into a church. At their reception, they did this thing. We didn't do this. Maybe some of you have done it. I don't know. They put these one-time use cameras out on the tables, right? Do you know about this? The idea is that the guests will record the reception through their own eyes. I thought that was a great idea until they got them pictures back. Realized only them little bad kids had the cameras. They're going through hundreds of pictures like, oh, here's another one of the cat's butt. Oh, look at that. Piece of cake floating in the toilet. We got ourselves a Christmas card.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show. 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this. In our office, even to this day, there is an autographed picture of William Sanderson that he sent us. He helped us with numerous charity events by donating items in the past. You will remember him. Well, his new book says, Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. You know who he is. He's from New Hardy's Larry and his two brothers.
Yeah. What was his brother's name?
Daryl.
What about the other brother?
Daryl. You also know him from True Blood, Blade Runner.
He was one of my favorite characters.
And he's going to be reprising his role in the Deadwood movie. William, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. And you actually put a photo of me up there.
You sent us a photo back in the day, because back in the early 2000s, you were kind enough to come on our show. We were in the morning then, and we said, will you come back? And you came back. You must have been on with us 10 times in the early 2000s.
Well, that's a big compliment because sometimes I don't get invited back.
Now, I want to ask you about this. Haney and I were talking about it for the past couple of days. And I believe years ago when you were on, you told us a little bit about it. But settle some truths. You went to school with Elvis Presley and you knew him.
Well, he didn't know me. I followed him around a lot. And he went to a school not far from where I live, but I went to a different public school. He lived in a housing project. My wife once said, quit telling those stories. They'll know how old you are. But it was just he made such a great impression on a lot of people. Keith Richards says he sparked a dream. But I got to go in his house one time. He was playing the piano. Didn't know me. But Mr. Lansky of Lansky Brothers let me ride out there. And that's a big thrill. We played football together when I was in high school, but I wasn't playing on his team. He'd have these all-night parties, and I'd find out he's going and start at midnight, the amusement park. I tell about him in the book.
And, yeah.
I hope somebody can read it. Cause
now, I want to.
You know, it's amazing. To this day, when you go to Memphis, each and every person in that town will have their own Elvis story relating to what happened to them or somebody in their family. They cherish it.
Yeah, and I bet his close friends all say we're lying, but I don't pretend to know him, but was around him quite a bit, and I got to see three concerts, and I think I know. I knew the young guy, not the older caricature, you know.
Right.
I mean, and he was very generous and very polite to the fans, because that was to our benefit. So,
but I believe you were doing. You got to tell this story if you can. You were doing one interview and how you used to follow Elvis around. Didn't you sneak into one of his late night movies that he was seeing, and they were all in front, and you kind of sat in the back while Elvis was getting a run of a movie late at night?
Oh yeah, you got a great memory. That's exactly what happened. Sometimes I'd just get in and sit there a little bit, especially if I had to go to school the next day. But just to say I got in, and I'd never go with anybody. I didn't want them to misbehave or us to get caught. I had a story. If I got caught, I'd say I'm a friend of George Klein's.
Yeah.
His good friend.
Yeah, and DJ.
I didn't have to use it, but I don't want to bore anybody down memory lane, but he became the highest paid entertainer in the world. And I said, I was in his house listening to him.
Yes.
We played football together.
Yeah.
He said, you want to sit in the limo? And I said, I don't want to get it dirty. And he said, oh, if Bardol won't get it dirty, you won't hurt it. That was a nickname for a friend of his. But, you know, I didn't know he'd have an effect till later and later. So.
Well, yeah, like you said, you knew him as the younger Elvis, not the caricature that he became. The thing that interests me about your stories about Elvis and how you were able to get into the limo, get into his house, go to the movie theater and all that with Elvis was before they died, we talked to, I think, every one of the Memphis Mafia who hung around, Marty Lacker, Lamar Fike,
Sonny and Red,
and they would always tell us stories that people would try to get into the movie theaters, even celebrities, singer, like Mac Davis one time tried to go and with Elvis to watch a movie. They put him a couple of seats back, and he started saying, hey, I thought I was supposed to be sitting next to Elvis, and the Memphis Mafia would quickly show him the door. And I'm just thinking, how can a young guy like you at that time, Elvis knew that, you know, you were a kid around there, but to get in there without them bothering you.
I happened to have worked with Red later, ironically, but I would let them get in, and then you go. I think there may have been a night I couldn't get in, or they locked the door too quickly. He didn't stop. He had a president of his fan club, a handicapped kid, had come in the wheelchair, but I didn't sit up close. I wouldn't even ask for popcorn or Coke because I didn't know if you had to pay. And I start to offer them money, and they say, what are you doing?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.